eyes to see and ears to hear your message for our life this day, and open our hearts to that journey that you ask us to do with you, that we might be those who wave and acknowledge who you are, but also that we might be those that walk and are with you in what you are doing. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful and a joyous day. Why needing to stand here? That wasn't me. We off? Okay. What was I saying? What a joyous day. Why I'm even standing up here to say anything with what we've seen already and what we've heard already, from prayer concerns to all kinds of wonderful things that our children bring us. It is a wonderful and glorious day when we celebrate Jesus coming into Jerusalem. We come here on this Holy Week, remembering a supper we're going to have here Thursday, remembering the darkness that was going to come to us Friday, remembering new life a week from today in our four services that we're having here for Easter. But today is a special day when we remember a parade, don't we? Do you remember? Did you see the children coming in? I ask you to sit down so you can see. We remember a parade as Jesus walked into Jerusalem, being acknowledged as a king. Not a king on a horse that comes to conquer and hurt others in a military way, but a king on a donkey saying, "I am the king of friendship, of love, of grace, of hope and possibility to connect you to a loving God." What kind of king is that? You know, I've always loved the parade. How many of you have been to Septemberfest? Anybody? Probably almost everybody if you're from town. And we know, for those of you that know Septemberfest, our local get-together, community get-together, there's always a parade at the end of it, towards the end. We love to go to that parade, and we usually stand at the end of the parade when it's almost over, right near Schaumburg Road. And what I have always been amused at are those that have to sit in cars, sit on floats, ride in fire engines or police cars, and by the time they get to us, they're still waving, but it's kind of like this. Right? You know, that parade wave. They're numb and they're saying to themselves, "I can't wait till this baby is over." You know, we all wave back and it's just a wonderful thing, and the candy's flying and it's a wonderful celebration. And we celebrate also the parade of Jesus today, but we need to remember the differences. At Septemberfest, as we waved everybody that's there, when that last cart, when that fire engine, when that whatever is the last thing comes, what do? We go home. Somebody's stuck with cleaning that up. It's not you or me, I know. But we go home and it's over. Today, when we remember the parade of Jesus into Jerusalem, we need to remember, it ain't over, folks. And the question for us as followers of Jesus is, are we those who are just waving from the sidelines, or are we those that are willing to walk with Jesus? Are we wavers or are we walkers? And there's a world of difference in that. To wave is just to celebrate, but to walk is to be touched by the grace and the loving ways of God that doesn't stop. Goes on and on and on. This Lenten season, when we started this Lenten season, a layperson, a gentleman, Jim Zimmerman, came and gave a message about what it means to be transformed and what it means to be called into Christian service. He talked about spiritual gifts and a lot of different things in terms of doing that, but also one of his basic advice was, just go try something. If you want to know what it means to serve Christ, you don't have to figure it all out. You don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be perfect in what you do. Go try to do service in Christ's name. You know, you don't have to have all the answers. If you're part of the band, you don't have to know all the chords. You know, as we've talked about our 633 band. You know, if I was still trying to figure out what it meant for me to completely understand to being a pastor, I'd still be working on it. I never would have done that 20 years ago because I still am working on it. His advice was, if you're interested or think you might want to do Christian service, try it. Just go out and try it. It might work, it might not, but you're going to be on that road. I want to share just a brief story with you before we receive communion today about a young gentleman who found his way to Christ. He was raised in a traditional United Methodist church, but it didn't connect with him. And this individual, Mr. Shane Claiborne, I've mentioned before, you know, was turned on by what the Bible said about Jesus. And he wanted to find out what it meant to see a Christian and to really do Christian work. And he was pretty outgoing, but he just went and tried something. And he thought about some famous Christian folks that he could work with. And so the one who came to mind for him was Mother Teresa. Have you heard of her? Mother Teresa, who worked with the leper colony in Calcutta in India, worked with the poorest of the poor. And so Shane and a friend of his one summer wanted to go to India and work with Mother Teresa and with their sister organization that was there. So he wrote a letter to Mother Teresa, and he didn't hear anything back. He wasn't about to let that stop. He found a local sister, a convent. He went and talked to the sisters, and he said, "You know, I want to go work with Mother Teresa for the summer. How can I do that?" And they said, "Write a letter." And he said, "I did that." "Well, then you need to wait to hear from me." He says, "I've done that. So what can I do now?" So finally, there were some connections made, and he got a phone number of the sisterhood in India. He called. You know, and calling to India is not really cheap. He says he talked really fast. He didn't have a lot of money, but he wanted to go. He called, when the person answered on the other end, he thought he would hear, you know, "This is the sisterhood of, and this is what we do." But instead, he heard this raspy hello, this woman's voice. And he assumed he had the wrong number. And he said, "You know, I'm calling about this. I want to come in the summer." He's talking fast because he's got to pay a lot of money for this call. "I want to come and work with Mother Teresa. And, you know, I was just calling to talk to her." And the voice said, "This is Mother Teresa." And he said, "Well, I want to come for 3 months." And she said, "Well, that's kind of a long time." And he says, "Okay, how about 3 weeks? And she says, "Come for the summer." And he did. He went over to work with them, and him and his friend, to work with the organizations that she had set up. He rarely saw her. The first thing he got to do, though, you know, the first thing, and I've thought about how hard what he did is. And I kind of wonder if any of us here could do what he did. None of us have the skills, the abilities, the talents to do any of the stuff that he did. And listen to what the hard stuff that he did. First of all, he worked with children. And what him and the others that were part of that organization did, they took soap, they took bandages. They went to a local watering hole where water came out of a spout. And what they did was they met children. They washed, you know how you wash dirty kids' hands? I'm sure none of you have done that. They washed their hands. They cleaned out sores, scrapes, cuts, and wounds. They put on bandages. They sewed clothes. And they cooked a meal. Now that stuff is really hard. I'm sure none of you can do that, can you? What did they do? They washed, they bandaged, and they cooked. How many of you can do that? He went and he tried it, is what he did. Secondly, after he worked with that for a while, he went to probably one of the hardest things, working with the home of the destitute and the dying. Those who were going to die. There was no question about that. And his task was to help them die with dignity. And again, he did stuff that was so hard, none of us could do this. Right? He walked in, and he talked to them. He gathered with others, and he sang for them, sang with them, and sometimes he even laughed with them. Now, I know the issues of talking and singing and laughing are way beyond our ability, aren't they? We could never do that. How many of you can sing? The choir is saying, "Pastor Bill, put your hand down." And how many can laugh? You just did it. How many of you can talk? You just did it. Go try, is what the advice is. Finally, he went to work with the leper colony that Mother Teresa started right outside of Calcutta. A place where lepers came with their awful diseases. And he said it was a wonderful and a powerful thing to look at. Because lepers, that awful disease, that, you know, you're not going to find a Hollywood figure come and advocate for that disease, are you? Uh-uh. He went and worked with them. And what he noticed was those who came to that leper colony, they were treated and they were cared for. And once they were cared for, they started caring for others. And he calls them leper doctors. They weren't certified for anything. They began doctoring each other as the church advises us to do. And listen to the hard stuff that he did. None of us could do this. It's too hard for you, I know. He did this. And maybe it is for some of us. He helped make clothes. And I admit that's way beyond what I can do. He helped make shoes. Because that disease does awful things sometimes. He helped bandage wounds. And he helped grow food in their garden. Now, I know none of you are talented enough to do any of that. It's way too hard, isn't it? He went and he tried. That's all he did. And a wonderful human part, and I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, so please don't tell anybody I said this in church. But he met two gentlemen, one older, one younger. John and Kissel was the young man's name. John found out that Mr. Claiborne Shane had lost his father when he was younger. And John, this leper, said, you know, then you're my son now, and I will be your good father. A leper from India. Kissel was a young man whose parents had died from the disease, and he was left to care for his two sisters in this leper colony. But John and Kissel had formed a family together, and they would invite Shane over to come and have dinner with them, to talk with them, to joke with them, to tell stories with them. And remember, this is a leper colony. This isn't our dining room. But they laughed and they joked and they told stories together. Can any of you tell a story? Can any of you tell a joke? Well, maybe not a joke. But go try it. And again, I know I'm going to get in trouble for this, so please don't tell the bishop. He said, you know, we would sit together and we would pray together. And often we would sit around and laugh when John passed gas and blamed Kissel. I just hope the bishop doesn't hear that. And you never thought you'd hear that in a sermon, did you? But think of how normal that stuff is. We think Christian service and being called to Christ is something way beyond what we can even imagine doing. But it's human, it's regular, it's normal. You step out and you try it, and in that comes grace and love and possibility. One of the touching stories he tells is that he was working with the home of the dying and the destitute, an older gentleman who did not speak English. He could not understand him. He was bandaging those awful wounds that come from leprosy. And the gentleman would drop his head and close his eyes. And then he would open them and look. And then he would close his eyes again. The exhaustion from that disease. After he was done wrapping those wounds, the older gentleman turned to him and said, Namaste. And Shane said, there's really not a good English translation for that. But that means, Namaste. I honor the God that is in you. Namaste. I honor the God that is in you. Shane said he didn't know what to say. So you know what he said back? Jesus. Namaste. Jesus. All because he just wanted to see and to try. Now, sometimes I hesitate telling these stories about people who go to, you know, these famous places. Mother Teresa has a famous name. They go really hard places to serve. You know, because most of us, I don't want to do that. I don't think that's my calling. Some of you may. Most of us probably won't. Because sometimes the things like that's what we have to do to go see that. But let me share this with you. Mr. Claiborne, as soon as he finished with his 3 months in the leper colony in India, he applied and was accepted for an internship at Willow Creek Community Church. Do you know where that's at? In South Barrington. He went to try it. He went to see. And he talked about God working in both places. We do not have to be those who save the world. If you think you have to be that, you are terribly wrong. Jesus did that. It's not your job. But our job is to listen and to try. So this morning, as we receive communion, I want you to remember Namaste. Can everybody say that with me? Namaste. That was very good. How about just the kids? Just the children? One more time. Namaste. How about let's all do it together? Ready? Namaste. I honor the God that is in you. We are receiving the blood and the body of Jesus. That God that wants to come and be with us. I would ask you to take that as encouragement this day. To step out and see what you can do to be part of the parade, and not just those that wave from the sidelines. Let's bow for prayer. Loving God, I thank you for the many ways you touch our lives, and I thank you this day for this celebration, this day of palms. I ask that you help us remember Namaste, that we can honor the God that is in each other, that we can honor that Jesus Christ that is part of ourselves when we take Christian service serious. So touch us this day and open our hearts and minds to this bread and this cup, that it might strengthen us in ways of service, love, and grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please now join us as we sing our